Brett Hollander back here on Sportsline on WBAL. We are with Danny Nagel, former Major League All-Star left-hander. And we're going to get in big time to his big charity weekend coming up. That will include Eddie Murray and many other major leaguers coming into the area here. We'll talk about that. I do want to have one more segment on the PEDs in baseball. As I mentioned before, you were mentioning the Mitchell Report, and it says from 2000 to 2004. Did the Mitchell Report actually bring you in to conduct an interview?
You know what? They tried. I kind of gracefully bowed out of that. You know,
What's the point?
Yeah, at that point, you know, I was like, you know, look, it is what it is. I didn't think it was really going to do me any good to talk about it at that point. To be honest with you, Brett, this is the first time I've really even talked about it at all publicly, you know, in any kind of format.
Well, I really appreciate that. And as I mentioned, the Mitchell Report says from 2004, and we were talking off the air, you never tried anything before 2000.
Never tried anything before 2000. And, you know, I never felt like I needed to. I battled, you know, the arm problems just like anybody else. But, you know, I didn't really even consider that or think about going down that route, you know. And then, and then I signed my contract. And
you had it won. You had a huge deal with the Colorado Rockies.
Yes, you know. And to be honest with you, you know, I was a month and a half into my, you know, my first year of my contract. And I felt like my shoulder was literally going to just come out of my socket, you know. And so I just kind of made some inquiries to see what I could do to, you know, stay on the field. Because the last thing I wanted to do, to be honest with you, Brett, was sign this contract and then, boom, go on the DL, have surgery, and be out for a year and a half right away the first year of my contract, you know. So I panicked a little bit because that was me. I was going to do whatever it took to stay on the field. In hindsight, as I said before, I would have done it completely different because I think it really did hurt me in the long run. You know, yes, it got me to stay on the field in the short term, but I think it also maybe might have ended my career, you know, put an end to the career shorter than it would have if I hadn't tried it.
And, of course, you were linked up with the infamous Kirk Radomski. Here's my take on this. All these, and this is the former Mets clubhouse guy, right?
Correct.
All these guys come across to me, Danny, as these jock sniffers. A lot of them are ex-weightlifters. Many of them, as we know, are fake chemists. I mean, what athletes get involved with here, guys, I mean, Tony Bosch, who ran Biogenesis, claimed to be a doctor. He was not a doctor. He got a semi-pharmaceutical degree from someplace in Guatemala. And the fact that anyone's letting anyone like that inject themselves with it is mind-blowing to me. But aside from that, for a second, even Bosch looks like the fake weightlifter. He used to brag about being friends with A-Rod. Is there any way to get these lackeys, these people, these jock sniffers away from the athletes in pro sports? Mitch Ross, who accused or said he gave deer antler spray to Ray Lewis, Brian McNamee, they are all the same people. They actually look the same.
Well, I think, to be honest with you, there's one simple way to get, you know, any of those kind of guys away from sports, baseball, or any sports in general, and that's to like we talked about earlier, too, to lay down the gauntlet, you know, with these suspensions. Because what happens is just like you just said, you know, if an A-Rod vouches for this person, then if somebody looks up to A-Rod or just plain and simple just says, well, if Alex Rodriguez is doing it, if it works for him, then, well, my gosh, it should work for me, right? You know, if whoever it is, if it's David Segee who was named in it too, you know, and then some other guy says, well, man, I like Segee. He seems like a good guy. If it was me and I recommended somebody, you know, I mean, again, that's kind of the root of the problem. So if the players, knowing that they're going to be hammered with these suspensions and possibly, you know, have a lifetime ban from baseball or whatever sport it is, then, of course, then they're not going to do it, and then they're certainly not going to recommend it to anybody else. So that's how you get rid of these guys, is you nip it, you know, even farther up. Don't let the players get involved with this stuff. And if they're scared of doing it and they know this is going to set their career off, you know, in a bad way, then I think that's how you nip that in the bud then.
Yeah, interesting. And then when the Mitchell Report came out, I'm sure you were dreading the days before it happened. Did you jump online and read it? Did you wait for it to come out? Have you even read it since?
I think I kind of just read it online when it came out, just like anybody else. And then when Radomski came out with his book, you know, Bases Loaded or whatever it was. Yeah, of course, they got to come out with a book. When he came out with that one, I just kind of chuckled, you know, to see my name mentioned in that also, too. It's just...
Dad, were you friends with him?
Well, I mean, you know, yeah, I guess I consider him a friend because I met the guy and stuff, whatever, you know, and... You know, to be honest with you, he wasn't a bad guy, Brett. You know, I mean, he was a guy that was just kind of got caught up in it, too. And, you know, when you read his book, you know, he even said it also, too. And I know people will sit there and say, well, it's easy to say it now, you know, in hindsight. But he even mentioned that, you know, God, if I had done it all over again, too, I would have never gone down that path. And because he loved the game of baseball. Like you said, he started out as a Mets clubhouse kid, you know, and he's really upset that his name will forever be linked with that awful period of baseball, the steroid era.
Do you hate him?
No, I don't hate him at all because, you know, I mean, my gosh, he was looking at, you know, some major prison time, federal prison time, you know, and he was married with two kids and stuff, you know, and he had to do what he had to do to save his own rear end, you know, and I think anybody had been in the same situation as him would have done the same thing.
Have you ever spoken with him since?
I've not spoken with him since because I think he had changed his number and everything, too, since
then. Wise play. He might be witness protection now. Who knows?
Exactly.
And then you have young kids. Did they ever ask?
Yes. I've had that. At the time, my older son, who's 13 now, was old enough to understand it. And, you know, he wanted to know, Dad, why'd you do that? You know, isn't that cheating, Dad? And, you know, I explained it as best as I could, Brett. You know, and I'm a guy that anybody knows me knows I wear my emotions on my sleeve. I'm a pretty straightforward guy. I don't beat around the bush, you know, is the best way I could put it, G-rated for you.
and it sounds that way.
You know, and so I told my kids, you know, that, look, Daddy made a mistake, you know, and I kind of explained why I did it, but I also said that doesn't make it okay. You know, it's the same thing when your kids, you know, that's how I explained it to them. I said, it's the same thing when you guys make mistakes. Sometimes your daddy understands why you did it. And sometimes, you know, it might not be the best choice, but I understand why you guys might make the mistake, but it doesn't make it right just because Daddy understands it. And I explained it the same way to them, Brett, that I made a choice that Daddy had to live with. It wasn't the right choice. I would have done it completely different if I had it all over again. But, you know, I made a mistake, and I learned from it.
I really appreciate your candidness here tonight, Denny. And let's talk about this big charity event, October 17th and 18th. You have a double dip here, and I love this. You're doing... First, a poker tournament in Kent Island at the Roving Crab Deck.
It's called the Crab Deck right there in Kent Island, right next to the Hilton Garden Hotel
okay.
over there.
And then golf the next day. Shotgun start 11 a.m. in Queenstown.
At Queenstown, and it looks like at this point now we're going to have both. I think it's the River and the Marsh course. I think they're called. It's 218 holes because fortunately, looks like we're getting more and more celebrities to show up.
Give me some names.
Just to name a few, a couple ex teammates like Javi Lopez. Brad Klontz, former Oriole as well. Brad Klontz, Ryan Klesko, former Oriole great Scott McGregor, the former governor Robert Ehrlich, Sylvain Cote, Peter Bondra, former Capitals,
huh?
Gary Clark, Steve Avery. We're going to try to get Ryan Zimmerman and Jason Wirth and maybe even Bryce Harper from the Nationals, Mike Bielecki, former teammate, B.J. Surhoff, Eddie Murray, Jeff Bostic, Chip Lowmiller, Reggie Branch, Billy Kilmer, Sean Landetta, former Giant.
Great list.
And Frankie Munoz from Malcolm in the Middle.
That's good.
It's great. My niece actually was involved with getting him to come out. But he's, a big-time golfer, and he also plays in a band on the side, too. So basically he said, listen, I'll come out and play golf for free. You don't need to worry about, like, an appearance fee as long as my band can play, like, a set. You know, and we're like, bring any band members
awesome.
You want.
And what's the charity for?
It is for the Connor Cares Foundation, which is named in honor of my nephew, Connor John James Freed, who unfortunately we lost 7 years ago to a drowning incident that it's preventable drowning incident. It happened at Crofton Country Club pool underneath the lifeguard chair in 5 feet of water. And basically what our charity mainly does is we provide AED defibrillators for public and private pools. On the 911 call when we lost my nephew, the 911 dispatcher said, ma'am, do you have a AED on site? It was a young lifeguard. She said, yes, we do, but we don't know how to operate. Only our manager does, and he's not here right now. And so, you know, unfortunately, we found that out the hard way, that there's so many of these drowning incidents could be prevented if defibrillators are on site and you could administer the defibrillator right away. The chances of lives being saved go up so much greater from that point. And one great thing that happened, too, Brett, this past April, I think you're looking at it right now.
Yes, I am.
April 9th, we had the Connor's Law passed here in the state of Maryland, which states that it's mandatory for every public and private, I believe, public and it's definitely public. I believe it might be private also, too. But every public pool in the state of Maryland has to have a defibrillator and somebody on site to use it. I mean, these things are so self-explanatory. They almost talk yourself through it, to be honest with you, of how to operate it, you know, and administer the defibrillator on site.
More information at ConnorCares.org. ConnorCares.org. We'll link it when we put this interview up on the website. It's a great cause and a great tournament. Excellent stuff. And again, October 17th and 18th, be a part of the golf tournament, be a part of the poker tournament. One's at Ken Island, one's in Queenstown. It's awesome stuff, Denny.
And that Connor Cares is with an O, CONNORCARES.org.
And it is .org. Denny, I really appreciate it. Great stuff. Let's do this again soon. We'll hit it up before the big weekend.
Sounds good.